comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. My name is Greg Mahochko, and from Studio C, he is the reigning and defending, undefeated, undisputed co-host of the year, Mike Luther. Hello, Mike.
Hello. I'm glad you admit that I am the reigning defending, because you've had a couple other co-hosts on your other podcasts.
Yeah. Well, in all fairness, I have a full-time co-host from the West Coast.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, but I'm you know, number one. You had a couple guest hosts on.
We did have some guests. You're right.
You had Mr. Kevin Huntsberger.
The host of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, right here on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. Cheap Pop.
Mr. Thomas Eduardo Skull.
Yep. Formerly of Tom and Jim's Top 5, now most predominantly from the Skullbuster WrestleCast.
Notice how I didn't say anything bad there.
Nope, I'm proud of you. It's like you two have buried the hatchet, not in each other's skull. No offense. I mean, no pun. All right. So
I'm sure you've heard a ton of skull puns.
Oh, I'm sure. What is a good word in your life, sir?
Man, I've been working, trying to register Nolan for school, which, sad to say, I've never registered anybody for school before, so I'm brand new to this. But I've gotten help, especially from his school, you know, and hopefully by August 12th he'll be registered. I have started the process, and now I'm just waiting for more information to come.
Well, that's is his school, are they going to be doing in-person learning?
So from what I've read, they will be doing blended. So like every other day.
Yeah, one group goes Monday, Wednesday, right. Another group goes Tuesday, Thursday, and nobody goes on Friday?
Something like that.
Yeah. So our school district, where our son goes, is fully online for the first quarter, and then they'll do a reevaluation. Meanwhile, much to the chagrin of many, including people like myself, the IHSA, the Illinois High School Athletics, or whatever, it's the governing body of high school athletics in the state of Illinois, has moved high school football, girls volleyball, boys soccer, all to the spring. So,
okay.
If you were the type of person who played football and baseball, you're boned.
So, yeah, I guess you have to choose one.
I almost guarantee. I think it's going to do a lot of damage. Like, we're not going to see the full impact, but I'm almost certain it's going to do a lot of damage to baseball programs in small schools.
I could see that. So you would think more people would choose football than baseball if they had to make a choice.
I think so.
I think football is a lot more popular. So.
Which is unfortunate.
I watched what you recommended a long time ago. I think you recommended that Last Chance U.
Yes.
I like it. I watched the third season, because for some reason the way they number it is weird.
Yeah, so the first two seasons are Eastern Mississippi Community College, and the third season is Independence Community College in Independence, Kansas. And there's a new season now, and it is a school from Oakland, California.
Laney?
Yeah. Actually, I don't think that's Oakland, California.
That's the one I'm watching right now. Well, okay. I was watching until Umbrella Academy came out, which we'll talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching, it's Laney College, and I think it's in California. I forget where.
Yeah,
okay. But Yeah, I for a person that isn't really into sports that much, except for like UFC, I thoroughly enjoyed Last Chance U, and I thoroughly enjoyed the Last Dance, the Chicago Bulls documentary. If you haven't seen it yet, I highly recommend it.
I'm working through it. I think I'm on episode 2 or 3. And I knew about it when it came out. When it came out, like ESPN dropped it over like one night a week. It was Sunday night for 10 weeks. And that was everything anybody was talking about because that's all sports we had. You know, everything else had been shut down.
Yeah.
Little does the public know that I was recording one of the last podcasts that was taking place when live sports were going on. It was the Five Heart podcast, and we were splitting time between recording and watching the Nebraska men's basketball team in the Big Ten tournament. And they lost, but since no other games were played after that, I kind of feel like they ended up winning third place in the tournament. So, which is a lot better than they would have fared.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so we haven't had a sport. Now we're getting some baseball. Hockey is back this weekend. It's a good time to be alive.
Can I say that?
Or will that get me in trouble?
No. That's understandable.
I feel like it's always a good time to be alive.
Yeah, that's very true.
Mike, we're going to start this episode as we used to start all the episodes until we forgot. And that is by going to the book. You want to remind the people what the book is?
The book is called The League of Regrettable Superheroes, Loot Crate Edition by John Morris.
Yep.
I know you say we don't have to say Loot Crate Edition, but it's on there.
It's true. That doesn't mean we have to say it. All right. This time, I don't think I've ever talked. I don't even think I've ever seen this one before. This is from your favorite pinup, is how this character, you know, scribbles their name. They are the bouncer.
Okay.
Debuted in an unnumbered issue from Fox Features, 1944, created by Robert Koeniger and Louis Fairstat. And here we go. By the way, I'm going to show you a picture of the bouncer. The bouncer is dressed in what you could imagine would be ancient Greek attire.
Okay. Okay, wow. Not what I was expecting. Okay.
And by the way, it does say your favorite pinup, but I'm also pretty sure that the bouncer is a male.
That's definitely, yeah.
All right, so here we go. Even among the wild and weird fraternity of absurd superheroes, the bouncer is a genuine oddball. His superpower, you want to guess what it is, Mike?
He bounces.
Yes. His secret identity? You won't get this one.
He's a pinup girl.
He's a statue.
Okay. Never in a million years would I have guessed that.
And his secret, and his sidekick is his own descendant. The bouncer is the mythological figure Antaeus, who once wrestled Hercules. Now, this version not only draws strength from the earth, as in the original legend, but also is capable of rebounding from any fall, quote, like a rubber ball. Furthermore, this talent is passed on to his progeny throughout the generations. Fast forward to the modern day when Antaeus' latest descendant, Adam Antaeus Jr., wants nothing to do with adventure. Still smarting from a controversial career as a collegiate athlete, his semi-divine bouncing ability makes him a natural at the high jump, and the hurdles were a piece of cake, but his supernatural athleticism also made him a target of detractors and skeptics, and Adam decides to retire from physical labor.
Okay.
Yeah. The bouncer and his contemporary partner make for quite a spectacle. Antaeus the Elder remains decked out in purple toga and sandals he wore in ancient times, while Antaeus Jr. apparently can't be bothered to change out of his work clothes. The apathetic sculptor bounces into action still wearing his plaster-smattered splattered smock and, of course, his beret, because he is an artist after all.
Interesting. Look, some of this over here, as we get, are good, some are bad.
Yeah.
This
is among the worst.
It's like, okay, yeah, whatever.
He has his criminal, his rogues gallery, I should say, are the likes of Glowworm and Mr. Lucifer, who is a circus clown who insists he's the devil.
See, if it would have just been kept at Lucifer, like, oh, he fights the devil, cool, awesome, you know? But don't have it be a guy who thinks he's the devil. You just made it lamer there.
I think a circus clown who insists he's the devil, that's pretty badass.
Well, okay. I mean, it depends if the circus clown has powers or not.
True. But, you know, he's probably got to have some pretty wicked face paint.
Yes, very true.
So, look, this is not a property. Kevin Smith in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, you know, wrote into the script that Hollywood was buying up all kinds of comic properties to make movies. We can pretty well rest assured that the Bouncer's not one of them.
No.
So,
however, I can cast it for you. And the only reason I can cast is because I looked up the Bouncer just to see, you know, if there's anything, you know.
Did you see more images than this one?
Yes. However, okay, so there's a film called The Bouncer.
Oh, my.
It's nothing to do with the comic book we just read. However, it stars somebody who I would like to see in the movie, The Bouncer, based off of whatever comic book it is, and that's Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Well, he would have to be the elder, right?
No. We're going to make him he's just going to pretend he's young.
No.
He's done enough plastic surgery. You know?
I think maybe he's done a little too much plastic surgery.
Well, probably.
All right, so this...
How old is JCVD? Do you want to guess? Don't look it up.
I'm not going to look it up. I will say he is 62.
You're close. He's 97.
No, he's not. Stop it. No,
he's 59.
I was not bad. I was not far off.
No.
I'm going to send you a picture that I want you to study. And we're going to do a serious casting for the Bouncer, both the mythological ancient Bouncer and the young upstart artist Bouncer. Are you ready?
Okay.
So obviously, based on what we see here, the Greek mythological figure has to be well-built, has to have a winning smile. John Cena.
Oh, we do send a photo. Hold on, I didn't look at the photo yet.
Oh.
Okay.
What the heck?
So which one are we casting? The one in the dress?
Well, it's a toga.
Yeah, okay, it's a dress, but still.
And the one in the beret that he's bouncing with.
Okay. They both look the same age. I'm just going to tell you that much right now. And I was serious. I'm casting Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Well, I'm casting John Cena as the Greek figure, and see, because the problem is that the younger Adam Antius Jr. looks very scrawny and,
true,
dare I say, pipsqueak-like.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm not body-shaming him. I'm just saying.
So who do you cast for him?
I'm thinking. Do they have to be the same age?
No, not at all.
Okay. Tell you what I do. I would do, if I could get any actor from any period in time, as ridiculous as it sounds, I would get Matthew Broderick circa 1995.
Okay. I am going to cast Christopher Mintz Plus.
Oh, okay. Good one. Yeah, Michael Cera would work too, wouldn't he?
Yes, very much so. Yes.
All right. Well, that was fun. The Bouncer. Yes.
We made the Bouncer better.
We enhanced the Bouncer. So, all right. Well, we're going to move on now, folks, boys and girls, and we're going to talk about some other stuff now. Who's excited? Who's with us?
Yay!
Friend of the show, friend in life, and I see him all the time when I'm at Twilight Comics, Swansea, Illinois. That is Mr. Tim shared a really tremendous link on the Nerds United Facebook page, which I'm glad he did because I don't think I would have seen it otherwise. And it comes straight from DCComics.com, so you know it's legit.
Yes.
Do you remember the 1980s?
Yes.
Okay. Shall we finish?
That'd be funny if that was your whole question. Like, all right, that's all I got. All anyway. Right.
See ya.
We're done.
November
1988
was a 4-issue Batman comic published, I shouldn't have to say it, by DC Comics, written by Jim Starlin, illustrated by Jim Aparo, with Mike Mignola of Hellboy fame designing each cover. It was called A Death in the Family. Are you familiar with that, Mike?
I am familiar with it, yes.
Yeah, so for those, for the uninitiated, which if you're listening to Nerds United, you should know exactly what Death in the Family is all about. That was the one where readers could call a 1-900 number and place a vote. I guess it was you call one number for live, one number for die, and you basically determined the fate of the Robin at the time, who was Jason Todd. And I wasn't reading Batman at the time, so I don't know why everybody hated Jason Todd, but they killed him. Like, we do not want Jason Todd, period, end of story. So that was what happened. And it, for the longest time, was like, you know, Jason Todd's up there with Uncle Ben, and that's just one of the characters you don't bring back. And then they brought him back in Under the Red Hood, which, by the way, was a terrific story, a fun little animated feature. But now they're going to, you know, kind of do the original story in cartoon animated form for Batman Death in the Family. And just like in the 80s, you get to decide whether Robin lives or dies. What do you think about that, Mike?
I think it's great. Number one, I've heard a rumor a while back that there was never any chance of Robin living, because like they never even had a storyline, because they rigged it to make it where Robin was going to die, or they just knew everybody was going to pick Robin dies. I don't know if that's true or not. I take it with a grain of salt. I have no clue if that's true or not. But I like that we're getting another chance now. It's like you said, it's on the Blu-ray. If you buy the Blu-ray, it's interactive. So I'm assuming at one point in time, it's going to say click yes if Robin dies, or click no, he lives, or something like that. I know what I would choose.
Tell me more.
I would definitely choose for him to live. Only reason for that is we know what happens when he dies. Mm-hmm. We've seen that storyline before already.
Yeah, I mean, keep going. I'm on board with you so far.
Yeah, no, that's all. We know what happens when he dies, so let's find out what happens when he lives.
I'm on board. And to that end, my follow-up question would be, you know, I posed this question to Kevin Huntsberger of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. He was doing a little ask me a question, I'll give you an answer. And I asked, what happens if there's never a curtain call in WWF? You remember the curtain call or the circumstances around the curtain call, Mike?
Yes.
Okay.
With the click.
Yeah. With the click, yeah. So if you don't know, if you don't follow wrestling, or maybe you do but more casually, in 1996, Madison Square Garden, there was a little house show, and it was when Kevin Nash and Scott Hall were on their way out. They were good buddies with Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and after the show, the four of them came in, they embraced in a big hug, they quote-unquote broke kayfabe. Scott Hall was out the door, Kevin Nash followed, and Triple H, who was supposed to win King of the Ring that year, got kind of put in the doghouse, couldn't do that with Shawn Michaels because he was the champ, and that led to Steve Austin winning King of the Ring, and therefore the rise of Austin 316, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and, you know, as they say in the business, they strap the rocket ship to him. And I asked Kevin the question is, what happens if that curtain call doesn't take place? Being, you know, Hall and Nash sign with, you know, re-sign with WWF, and then there's no NWO, there's no Crow Sting, you know, etc. So I look at this scenario in the same way as if you don't quote-unquote kill Jason Todd, you don't eventually have the Red Hood. You don't have, at least in comics, years later, you don't have Red Hood and the Outlaws. You don't get that Under the Red Hood story, which brought him back to life. And one of the I think the best written Batman stories are the ones that are less physical and more mental, more psychological, and more like Batman and his demons type of stories, and that's what Under the Red Hood really was. So if you don't kill Jason Todd, you know, I'm very curious to know how the Bat universe goes on.
Well, I mean, you're right in everything you've said. First of all, let me backtrack just a little bit. I wish I would have known Mr. Huntsberger was taking questions because I would have asked him one.
Oh, he does it from time to time.
Yeah, because I always like, because every once in a while we'll do stuff where it's like, you know, ask, you know, Q&A and stuff like that. It's always good to have people asking questions to make it easier. But anyway, so next time I'm going to have to ask him a question.
If you could ask Kevin, because Kevin listens to the show, so if you could ask Kevin a question right now for him to answer on his show, what would you, we'll do a little cross promoting
here. Cross promotion. Okay, good idea. I'll just off the top, say, okay, the wrestling podcast. I'm going to say, what, if you had to, what kind of AEW star, like, and it has to be somebody who is only in AEW and nowhere else, what AEW, well, no, take that back, whatever AEW star, what AEW star would you take out of AEW and put in WWE and vice versa?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, there you go, Kevin. The challenge has been laid down, and if you have a question, Kevin, for us or anybody out there listening, feel free to comment on any of our posts on social media or on YouTube, or you can email us directly at nerdsunitedpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to discuss your questions, your queries, right here on the show.
Yes. So back to what you're talking about with Jason Todd. I'll try to bring it back. Yeah, you're 100% right. We got a lot of good stuff from Jason Todd's death, which, you know, sad to say, I hate to say it like that. Got a lot of good storylines and stuff. But we don't know what good storylines we would have gotten if he lived.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there would have been great storylines, who knows? It's hard to say. That's a big what if.
And I'm highly curious about, you know, the aspects and the stories that could have been made with Jason Todd surviving, because he always was kind of a rough edged kid, you know, in everything you read that's a young Jason Todd. I think he got recruited by Batman because he was trying to lift the tires off the Batmobile, you know. So there was a really a fearless quality about him. So I think that as he grew up and maybe outgrew the Robin persona, I don't know if you get like the gun wielding Red Hood character that, you know, we would see 20 years later or whatever that number was. But I definitely think that there is a place in the DC universe for a always had been alive Jason Todd who didn't just get a little crazy from the Lazarus pit. So,
yeah. Question I have for you is, let's pretend there has never been a Jason Todd dies. It's never happened. Mm-hmm. So the death of the family has never, ever happened. So all the storylines, we know nothing about them.
Did he still get beaten within an inch of his life by a crowbar by a Joker?
Yes.
Okay, but he survived.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we don't know that. So once the death of the family has never happened. We're starting the death of the family right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What do you choose? Does he live or die?
So you're putting me essentially in 1988.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I think, just based on me and how I think my brain operates, I probably choose live, because even if he's an annoying twerp, I'm just not the kind of person who's gonna be like, if I don't wish harm on Tom Brady or Justin Bieber, I can't really wish ill on Jason Todd.
That's fair.
So how about you, Mike?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I would have probably chosen he dies.
Mike, you scoundrel.
I wish I knew what the storylines going into was, because also at that time I wasn't reading comic mm-hmm. books. Was it 88, you said?
Yeah.
I was 7 years old, so
right.
I was playing with G.I. Joes and Ninja Turtles or whatever. But if I would have guessed, the storyline was probably getting stale with him, and that's why they wanted them to choose. So I would just be like, just get rid of him, you know.
Well, let's have a similar scenario, but with a different character.
Okay.
There's another character out there that you put to a vote, you know, in their survival or lack thereof, depends on the public vote. Who's the character, and what, like, which villain, which supervillain would even, you know, possibly be their downfall?
Okay, well, the first one I think of is Iron Man. And granted, Thanos didn't kill him. Okay, I'll say, I don't know if it's a villain, but would the Infinity Gauntlet kill him?
No, I meant like a comic book more. I'm not trying to change the rules, but I was thinking more like, just think of any comic book character that maybe you haven't seen on TV or something like that, if there's one character that you're like, I really can't stand so and so, they, you know, this publisher should, you know, put their fate in the public's hands, and why would it be Captain Marvel?
Okay. If I'm thinking about comic book characters I want to get killed, I would say Green Lantern, and I don't care what villain kills him, Parallax, I guess. And how easily does Parallax kill him? Like, what do you think it's going to be like? 99% of the people want him to die, or are we probably going like a full 100%? You know. What do you think, Greg? Oh, Greg says I'm number one.
Yep. That's what I'm saying, Mike. Wow. You really went there, didn't you?
I mean, I went for the easy. It was the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, but nobody wants to kill off Hal Jordan. He's already been dead.
Yeah.
Did you forget
that
part?
After watching the 2011 or whatever it was, Green Lantern, a lot of people wanted him dead.
Michael, you play nice now. Or
I'm not wrong. Look, what would you choose? Who would you?
I would probably go someone on the Marvel side.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. Because I didn't even have an answer. Like, I didn't know I was going to ask the question until I started asking the question, so I don't have an answer plan.
Well, while you think, I got another one.
Okay.
There's kind of two with it. And it's not necessarily a hero, but it's on the Marvel side. If you had to choose whether or not Gwen Stacy lived.
Ooh. I think I would say we live.
I probably would too.
All right, and so I think I have mine. Okay. Up to a vote. Cyclops. But to be fair, let's pretend that he's never been on the big screen. So,
okay.
So not like the James Marsden or whatever, just old good old comic or cartoon Cyclops, because cartoon Cyclops, he became kind of a dick.
Yeah. Now, I'll ask you, because so we're talking about the movie part of it. Is the comic book similar to the movie in the sense that, yes, Cyclops is the leader, but a lot more people listen to or go to Wolverine?
It's my experience over the last 20 years, 20 to 25 years, that Marvel has made such a big deal out of Wolverine. And I'm not saying good, bad, or indifferent, but they've put they've made him essentially like the Marvel's Batman, you know, as far as, you know, how many books he's in, you know, everything like that, and in how many storylines. So I think I don't necessarily see like the correlation as far as like, I think especially in the heyday, like in that, you know, first run of, you know, like the relaunch in 88 or 89, the one with the fantastic Jim Lee covers. I want to say the Cyclops was definitely more of like the leader, the go-to. And to that point, they made him such a whiner in the movies that I think it, you know, even to now it's, and I'm trying to, you know, separate the two, but even in the cartoon, he was, you know, he wasn't as much of a whiner, but he just had, like I said, he kind of became a dick. You know, so I don't know. To answer your question, I don't have a real good answer for it, which isn't an answer at all. I realize that. I think Marvel has overemphasized Wolverine in the last two decades.
Yeah. So I kind of looked at it this way. If you kill off Cyclops, you allow somebody else to come in as the leader. And obviously, if you keep him, he stays as the leader, and he can do a lot of really good things. Do I kill him off? Do I keep him? Honestly, I would probably just keep him. Okay. And I don't know why. I don't necessarily have a good answer, but that's just what I'm thinking. I would keep him. Now, I don't know what the listeners would do. They might do something else. They might comment below, wherever below is, and write their answer down. Who knows?
I hope they do. I hope they take time to answer this question in the comments section. And by the way, CBR.com put out an article about 2 years ago, November of 2018, and it was ranking the X-Men's greatest leaders. I know that like Emma Frost, the White Queen, has been a leader. Iceman comes in at number 25, if that's any indication. 24 is Karma. That's not even one I'm familiar with. Banshee was an early leader. Jubilee, that is surprising. But let's see if I can find where Cyclops is. Cyclops is on his name pops up 21 times. All right, we're going to find you, Psych. Feel free
Cyclops
to...
Cyclops has to be the top 10 for leaders.
Hmm?
Cyclops has to be in the top 10 for leaders.
Number two.
Number two, okay. Who's number one?
Professor X.
Okay, yeah. I mean, technically.
So, all right, now I want to know who's number three. Storm, that's right. She was a leader. Wolverine was in there, number four. Jean Grey at five. So now I feel like we're just going through the X-Men cable. So basically, it sounds to me like everybody who is in the X-Men has at some point been a leader of the X-Men. Magneto is number 10. So there you go. We have a winner. All right. Well, that was I'm going to save this link and throw it up. If you want to see the entire list, you can do so on this post at jerrymonkey.com. Mike. Thank you. It's official. There's only one other piece of business to do, to discuss this week.
Gregory,
right?
Edwin Hodgson.
We don't disclose the middle name, sir. How dare you? Now I have to edit that out.
Edit in a different name. Edit it so where I'm like Gregory Marcus Mahochko.
No.
Can you just edit it in a beep?
I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna do any editing. I'm way too lazy. It's already 9:41. By God. One last piece of business. Yesterday, according to when we're recording this, which is August 1st, yesterday, the second season of Umbrella Academy came out.
Yes. And I am slightly ahead of you, which is fine.
Yeah, by like 5 episodes.
Yeah, but that's okay. Look, I understand if you're not having time to watch certain things. Now, granted, you do have a podcast where you watch movies, but still... no, I'm just kidding. I'm on episode 7. I'm on episode 7. You're on 2, correct?
I'm on 2.
We can give a little bit of review, and I'm not going to spoil anything at all, since it did just come out.
Right.
So I don't expect people to have watched it already. I haven't watched the whole thing yet.
Yeah. Only when Mike watches it all will we be able to talk about it, right?
Well, it depends what it is. Like, what do you think? Like, 2 weeks?
Yeah, we'll give him 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks before you spoil. 2 weeks. Yeah, I would say 2-3 weeks.
Even I can have it watched in 2 weeks, Mike.
Right.
All 8 episodes. So I'm gonna,
yeah, so we can do a non-spoiler. We can even do a non-spoiler review on the. I think most of what I know is on the first episode too. But I was telling you before we started rolling, I think I like this season better than I liked the first season, which is surprising because a lot of times that's not how it is. This one, I'm trying to remember. So I hope I don't spoil anything.
But here's the thing to remember. It's not something you can like drop in on the second season and have an understanding. You have to watch the first season.
Correct.
And I'll say this, I felt like the first season picked up after about episode 4.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The first few episodes seemed kind of slow, but the second half, it really picked up, and I feel like it's just continued to gain that momentum.
You're absolutely correct. Yes. Definitely see the first season. And when I say the second season is better, that doesn't mean the first season was bad.
No.
It wasn't bad. It was just okay. Okay to really good.
It season 1 and season 2 of Umbrella Academy are akin to Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Endgame.
Yes. Yes. Except that there's nobody from Marvel on there.
Yeah.
And no Thanos. He's not in there either.
Well, he's from Marvel.
Well, actually, spoiler alert, maybe he is. Who knows?
Okay, Mike. I'm still a big fan of Tom Hopper.
Yes.
So I've been watching another show that he's on, and it is called, we've talked about it before, Black Sails.
Okay, yeah.
I'm digging back into that, and he's actually, his character's, spoiler alert for the show that's not even on the air anymore, but this season would have been in 2015. His character's actually back, so that makes me very happy. He is the kind of, like, if they ever wanted to do a right proper King Arthur movie, Tom Hopper could play King Arthur.
Yeah.
And he was... He played, I think it was, oddly enough, on a show called Merlin, where he played a Knight of the Round Table. And I think that might have been like a BBC show that was on Sci-Fi or something like that. You can watch it now on Netflix. But I think he played a knight of the round table, but I think he's got – there's something about that guy. He's tall, muscular. He's got he's from England, so he's got the natural, accent and whatnot. He's just – I don't know. I'm a fan of his, oddly enough.
I can totally understand, And he was one of the – I guess you can call him standout character in season one. He was definitely someone I liked.
He was the biggest, that's for sure.
He was definitely the biggest. Well, no. I think Luther was bigger.
He was Luther.
Is that the same – am I thinking of a different character then?
You must be.
Oh, God. I was thinking of whoever played Hazel. I don't know why.
No.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. I was wondering about the King Arthur thing, but I was like, because you said true to life King Arthur, I'm like, maybe the book for King Arthur is different.
Maybe he was a little doughier.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, I was like, okay. And then I remember, like, in my head, I'm thinking, like, I got to look up, like, King Arthur. Like, I guess I don't know the real story. Maybe they killed this little fat guy. Okay, yes.
Yeah, so I don't want to make you feel bad or anything, but I am going to send you a picture that's going to make you feel bad.
I never feel bad.
Oh, you will.
Good. Good, I guess.
I mean that in the nicest way. Cause,
tell me when you sent it.
I just sent it.
Okay, I'm looking right now. Wait, are you going to send a picture of Tom Harper, or did you just send a picture of myself?
Do you really need me to answer that question?
I mean, kind of. I look similar body type. I probably weigh more than him, really.
Yeah, probably. No.
And here's the good thing about that picture. We know that's all natural.
Yeah.
Just kidding. It's not. It's a lot of hard work, though.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm going to send you another one just to make you feel better. I don't know why I'm sending you so many. Never mind.
I don't know. I'm sure the Facebook listeners are loving it, though. Yep, that's what I look like in the morning.
Well, no, you usually have a shirt on, Mike.
No.
No.
Not at my house.
Okay, fine. You know what? He might have been in if I'm reading this right, he might have been in Game of Thrones.
He was not in Game of Thrones, according to his Wikipedia.
Well, according to what I'm seeing here.
Well, no, never mind. I'm looking at filmography. Never mind. Gosh. Actually, he played, I believe he played Dick and Tarly,
yep.
If I remember correctly.
Yep.
For about 4 episodes.
That's all it took.
Yep.
That's all it took. Okay.
By the way, the name Dickon Tarly just sounds weird.
Careful.
I'm just saying it sounds weird. Didn't say good or bad.
Well, all I know is if they want to make a right, proper King Arthur movie, look no further than Tom Hopper.
Okay.
It's Hopper now, if you want to be proper.
Now, Merlin is associated in some way with King Arthur, correct?
Merlin is the wizard, the mage, okay, who helps guide him.
Does the name Sir Percival mean anything to you?
He played Sir Percival on the show Merlin.
Yes, for about 20, if I counted it correctly, it was 26 episodes.
Yeah. All right. You think with all this, we could get, as much as we're talking him up, we should be able to get him as a guest on next week's show.
You would think so.
Although, if he's living across the pond, we're not going to be able to record at 9 o'clock at night because of the time difference. So,
look, if he wants to be on the show, we will figure out a damn time get him on the show.
That's true.
If he says, "Hey, you guys have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to record," we're going to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. At least one of us will.
No, I'm game.
Yeah.
I won't even go to bed that night.
Try it. You'll do nothing but sit there, drink wild turkey.
I don't think that's going to be the best conversation with Tom Hopper is if I'm drunk on a bottle of wild turkey. But you think we could introduce him to ski? I bet you he's never had ski before.
Okay, if you judging on the pictures that you sent me, that dude hasn't had soda in 10 years.
Yeah,
that dude hasn't had a sugar or a carb in 10 years.
Doesn't that just make you feel sad?
I mean,
I had sugar and carbs today.
It's the same. I'm having sugar right now. I'm having a soda.
I'm not.
And I've definitely had carbs.
I have too. Mike, this has been fun.
Yes.
It always is.
This is one of our shorter episodes, but that's okay.
That's okay. I mean, it's honestly gone on about 25 minutes longer than I thought it would.
How long have we been doing it?
Just about 50 minutes.
Okay, that's fine.
So we're going to end it here, folks. And we remind you to check out our YouTube channel and hit that subscribe button over there. Subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast app. And if you know Tom Hopper, you let him know there are a couple guys in Illinois who just want to talk mm-hmm. with him and introduce him to a soda he'll never drink.
That's right.
But really, we just want to congratulate him on his physique and his career.
Yes.
So that's it for Nerds United. He is the co-host of the year, Mike Luther. I'm just the guy who started a thing 7+ years ago, going strong here in 2020. Might be the only thing going strong in 2020. I don't know. My name is Greg Mahochko, and this is Nerds United, where we remind you each and every week to be kind
and rewind.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.